You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Talk Shonen Podcast. My name is a Turtle.
And my name is a Jared.
This week, Jared, we are talking about one of my most beloved shows growing up.
Yes. Jared's going autopilot on this one. Yeah. I'm letting Turtle just rant.
This show was the perfect storm for me as a child.
Yeah.
Because I was just in my fledgling youth of, or first of all, for those listening at home.
Yeah.
It's Exo Squad.
It's Exo Squad. Which I used to watch. Like, yeah. I watched it. It's just, I watched so many cartoons as a kid.
Yeah.
That I only had room for like 12 of them in my brain to remember fully. And that wasn't, that it didn't make the cut.
No, and it's a short show. It's only two seasons with like a third episode of the third season that was produced. Yeah. Okay. This show is like the perfect storm for me as a child.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna preface. As an adult, I look back on it and I go, what the fuck were they thinking? It is not okay.
Not cool for kids.
No, not cool for kids. Not cool in general how they framed
things. Barely good for adults.
Yeah, and I'm going to go into reasons why. But as a child, this was my fledgling youth before anime was really in America.
Yeah.
This show was making moves on the mecha anime genre.
Yeah.
And this is what got me into mecha for the most part, other than like late night sci-fi.
I mean, because the only other thing that we had as a kid that was late, that was, you know, big robots was Power Rangers.
And like Voltron.
And Voltron was kind of like you had to be in a niche to see Voltron. Yeah.
And so this was like a perfect storm because it had this mecha anime.
And you're super into engineering.
I'm super into like anything the mecha.
That's like tech.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Cool tech shit. You're like, yeah.
The toys were like absolutely off the hook.
I did have the toys.
I still have a bunch of the toys.
Like, you still have it. I still do. Your love for this runs deep.
Yeah. These mechs are some of my favorite we've talked about some of the Exo Squad stuff. I specifically referenced
Wolf Bronski's
on the mecha.
In our mech episode, which was like our second episode ever. Yeah.
Was it? No,
it was very early on.
Didn't we talk about it more recently? Compared like most. Maybe no. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah,
my memory's bad.
I think when we talked about Wolf Bronski's one, it was the mecha episode.
Was,
it was like your number like four or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that. I love it.
Yeah.
And so you know, you had these absolutely baller toys. They put way too much effort into. Yeah.
Like most things from like the late 80s, early 90s, and even into to now. Like most things for kids. It's all about the toys.
Oh, yeah. And toys are what sold this.
Yeah.
But the show itself was really good-ish. let me give you the quick rundown for
Everybody a synopsis.
All right. So this evil race of beings bioengineers slaves to terraform planets for them. And when the evil race's fleet is away from home fighting space pirates, the slave race rises up and takes over the home worlds to like earn their freedom and be full-fledged people.
Yeah.
And we root for the evil race that are humans.
I was going to say, it was like there's a twist.
There is a twist.
It's a twist.
The bad guys in the show, the bad guys they frame as the bad guys in the show, are the physically and mentally superior Neo Sapiens who were bioengineered as a slave race to serve humans.
Very social commentary.
Oh, yeah. Scathing social commentary.
They didn't have noses, didn't they?
They're very flat faces.
They're like very pale and very flat faces.
Well, they weren't pale. They were like blue and purples and stuff.
I count that as pale.
Whatever. But yeah. So that's pale for you. Okay.
If it's in cooler tones, it's pale.
Okay. Yeah. And like they were like, and they had four fingers. They only had like the four fingered hands.
That's all you need.
Yeah, of course.
As long as you have a thumb, you don't need. You can do it with.
I think
three.
They had like two thumbs and two big fingers. I think that was their whole.
That's all you need.
Layout.
You can hold a cup from either direction.
The fact, like, as a kid, I was like, yeah, these fucking evil Neo Sapiens. I look back on this, I'm like, these people, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, this is, you are rooting for Able Squad. That's the main squad.
Yeah.
The people you follow most of the, like they do side shoots on some other characters and things like that. And it's they actually had an amazing build out of like character development.
Mm-hmm.
But Able Squad is the main, like the elite human or Terran squad of Exo.
I love when they go with Terran for the name of human beings.
Well, because there's the homeworlds, which are Venus, Mars, and Earth.
Yeah.
That's the homeworlds in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And these homeworlds are like where everyone is based.
Yeah.
Including Neo Sapiens.
Yeah.
Now, Venus and Mars are not exactly super hospitable.
Yeah.
So they're being terraformed.
Especially Venus.
Yeah, yeah.
Venus is a bad choice. Yeah, don't go closer to the sun.
No. And so they bred Neo Sapiens to terraform for them.
Yeah.
Basically. And by the way, 50 years prior to the show, there was an uprising by the Neo Sapiens where they
just
like
always.
Well, they want. Oh God, they wanted freedom.
Oh no, these sentient beings want to be treated like people. Sentient beings.
Yeah. Oh, how fucking dare they?
You can't even say human because they're not.
No, they're not. They're totally like, different.
You can't say. I mean, technically, the argument that the Terrans can make is. You're not human, so you're not.
Oh yeah, sure.
You're not. And, you're not privy to and 50, human decency.
50 years before, when they had that uprising, I believe that was the full fledged like thing. It was like this is like the Black Rights Movement.
Yeah, like I said, it's very social commentary.
So there's like 50 years before, where it's the Civil War, where the Neo Sapiens fought for their freedom, basically.
Yeah.
To be not slaves.
Yeah.
And then 50 years later, they rebelled again because they were still treated like a subclass.
Yeah.
And they wanted, like, equal rights.
Exo Squad was now United States in 1964.
Yeah, yes. And so,
I don't know
like,
why I picked 64.
I don't know
in
why
particular.
That specific one. But
I could have just went with the 60s.
Yeah.
In general, 70s. And it, you know,
whatever.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah. But the point is, like, the whole show frames it like the Exo Squad, Able Squad, they're the good guys. They're out there
because they're fighting. White.
Yeah, exactly. Fighting the good fight. They're there like taking out these Neo Sapien scum that took advantage of the fleet being away from home to establish their freedom.
We gave them. We gave them land.
Yeah.
We don't hit them anymore.
We stopped putting them in shackles most of the time.
My grandfather was the only one that whipped a Neo Sapien. I haven't whipped a Neo Sapien.
It's like I'm laughing because it's so fucking absurd that they're framed as the bad guys in this show.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have to double down real hard. Like, Phaeton, who's the head of the Neo Sapiens, he's actually was like the governor of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this move.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember him vaguely.
Yeah. He's very much like a Gul Dukat from like Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Like he's like a charismatic but megalomaniac kind of character.
I think that's how they pulled off the portraying them as bad guys, because they're like at the end of the day, it's like they're just fighting for their rights.
Yeah.
But on top of that, like the person in charge of it is like, but I want to control everything.
Yeah, and you have to, like, they had to double down on that, like, hey, they're all assholes, and their leader is, like, a psychopath. Except, you know, he doesn't kill any of the humans they capture after the rebellion.
Yeah.
He just locks them up. And he could have, all, so, what started the rebellion is outside of the homeworlds, the ancestors of humans are space pirates. And these space pirates are like just living in the asteroid belt and doing their own thing.
How can this show fail? It has space pirates.
I know, right?
Like, that's all you need for a show to succeed.
And the space pirates, by the way, are completely unaligned. They're not against the Neo-Sapiens. They're not against humans.
I don't remember what they look like. Do they look like humans?
Oh, yeah, they're humans.
So they still look like they haven't evolved space travel?
They're like the ancestors by like 100 years or something.
Oh, okay.
They're not like crazy in the distance. I
mean, technically their bone density is probably a little fucky, yeah, but you know.
This show also has artificial gravity and things like that, so.
Gotta love space magic.
Yeah, space magic. So the entirety, so to clarify, the space pirates are such a threat and such a problem because mm-hmm. they've been raiding human freighters and things like that, or Terran freighters and things like that, that they, the Earth, in a stroke of brilliance, sends, quote, the entirety
100%
of the Exo fleet to go deal with these pirates.
Can you imagine? Imagine if you are in the military.
Yep.
And you're just you're like in water purification.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of
that Pauly Shore movie. Yeah.
Like, you're in water purification.
In the Army now.
In the Army now. Yeah. So you're Pauly Shore.
Yep.
You joined the reserves.
Yep.
And you find out that you're going to war. You then find out that every single person that has ever signed up for the Army
is going
with you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, this is overkill.
Yeah.
Like, no one was like, this seems excessive.
I was thinking about this a little bit. This threat scale is North Korea versus the U.S.
Okay.
Like, they could be a feasible threat. They're a little bit behind technology. They're a little bit, well, North Korea's a lot behind technology, but they have just enough that we're like, could they do something?
Yeah.
And they're a little bit more aggressive. They're actively raiding our freighters.
Yeah.
So here's the scenario.
We send everybody down to police.
Yeah. Here's the scenario.
It gets to police and we stop.
Yeah. The scenario that happens in this show that the leadership in the show thinks is totally rational. North Korea decides that this freighter, this cargo ship full of, I don't know, BMWs.
There we go.
Oil. That's what would make us go crazy. This oiler is a prime target. They
gas
raid
is already super expensive. Yeah. If you fuck with one of our big oil shipments,
they raid the oil shipment.
Yeah,
steal it. Okay, the U.S. in response to this then says send everything.
The generals are like, so you want to send the Air Force and the Army?
No. Everything.
Air Force, Army, every single boat we have in the Navy.
Do we have mounted troops still?
Has the Coast Guard ever left the country? No, they haven't. Their whole job is to protect around the country.
Yeah, the border.
North Korea is close enough. Send the Coast Guard.
They send everything.
Can we send SWAT? No, we can't send SWAT. Okay. That's where we'll stop.
Yeah,
exactly. Everything else, send them.
So their response is to send everything they have to wipe out these pirates, basically.
You got a gun? Go.
Which, by the way, to my knowledge, they fail. The pirates get away.
I was going
to
say, did the pirates get all killed?
I'm pretty sure they got away.
Okay.
Leaving basically
mission
like
accomplished.
The police force behind on Earth, which, interestingly enough, not capable of fighting off two planets' worth of bioengineered super people.
Yeah. Who would have thought? If you remove all defenses, you're defenseless.
Which, also interestingly, there's no fixed defenses or anything, and like they don't even have like
they didn't have like a turret.
Yeah, there's nothing like they don't. I mean, if there is, I don't remember it ever being referenced in the show.
It's like, so you're telling me they got, and I should probably point this out because we've only generally skimmed over it.
Yeah,
dope ass robot suits.
Yep, like, dope ass robot suits. That literally connect to your mind.
Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have that.
You Matrix Jack into this
thing. You created a whole sub-race of your species now.
Yep.
You have the technology to terraform planets.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't make just regular robots to watch the shit when you left.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have an alarm system on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just chirp, chirp,
Yeah, like, nothing. And they do have like police exoframes and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, it's one of the characters that comes into it. Mm-hmm. The rebellion from the Neo Sapiens is like, it's an ex-cop who is no longer a cop because humanity is not in charge of Earth.
So it's a rebellion against the rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that, by the once again, they skim over that fact. That's just the rebellion on the Earth or whatever's going on for one of these side plots.
At first, they're just, you know, invaders.
Yeah, exactly. That's all.
That's
it
what
is.
We think they are.
No. The intro, by the way, very clear that the Neo Sapiens are slavery. Sis. It's like they don't hide this at all. At all.
They're like, yeah, no, we got slaves, and they got mad.
Like these
like slaves normally
these
do.
These subservient sons of bitches rebelled and took over the planet, so we're gonna kick their ass. And like, as a child, you're supposed to be like, yeah. You show them.
Yeah, that's white culture right there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
That's how you breed a whole next wave of Republicans.
Oh, God.
You just make these shows.
And this show was very militaristic. And by the way, there's some things about the show that are amazing.
Yeah.
Very militaristic.
Super militaristic.
Yeah, super militaristic.
From what I'm remembering, favorite character, the leader of
Lieutenant J.T. Marsh.
Yeah, his one was just a straight up like F-16.
Oh, yeah, it was basically an F-16, like, mech.
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, every, like... Before they take back Venus, mm-hmm. there's two episodes that are just based on reconnaissance and planning this sortie.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, they're very strategic other than the fact that they up and left everything.
Yeah. They were like, never going to make that mistake again.
Yeah, right? and, like, the character development is really good. They have complex characters. The voice acting was amazing. The animation was pretty good for the time.
I remember the guy that you said, the lieutenant,
Lieutenant J.T. Marsh.
That guy. His hair was dumb.
Oh, yeah, it was dumb. He had like a crew cut, but then he also had like stripes that wrapped around the back of his head.
And they like almost had V's near the back. It was real dumb. Oh, I remember that.
You know, there's some interesting aesthetic choices.
I had his toy and I used a Sharpie. To color it.
Yep, I don't blame you.
Because it was dumb.
I had a couple of his toys because I had a couple. They made like a couple variant mechs because they had like, you know, toys, obviously.
Toys, you got to capitalize.
Yeah.
You have his one already? Well, you're in luck. We came out with one in blue.
And one that's a Transformer.
Yeah, this one, the lights actually work.
Yeah.
You're like, what? It's $100 too. I need it.
Yeah. And they did that whole thing with toy scale where it'd go like, okay, here's the action figures, which were, you know, the small figures, and then they fit into the mechs. And the mechs were kind of normal action figure size, but a little bit bulkier.
Yeah.
And then they had the...
Like, the pilots were very small.
The pilots were the small, like, small. Almost like G.I. Joe sized.
Yeah.
They were the G.I. Joe sized action
figures. And the mechs were, like, that in-between between G.I. Joe and then big G.I. Joe. Yeah. There was, like, that in-between scale.
Yeah, I mean, they were still... The mechs were still basically standard action figure 8-inch size, I think.
Yeah, because it was like handheld. Like you can hold one.
They were a little bulky because they were mechs.
They're mechs, yeah.
But they were, for the most part, the standard 8-inch action figure.
Yeah.
But then they'd have the deluxe mechs because there's a couple of those, the big ones in the show. And
it just sounds like a Taco Bell item.
Yeah.
It's like we're introducing the brand new Deluxe Mex. And Deluxe Mex Supreme.
They were super cool. Like I had both. I had two of them over the course of like years.
I had a standard one. I didn't know.
I had a lot of I still have a bunch of them because years later.
Are they worth any money?
I don't think so. And I also beat the hell out of them. They're sitting in the bottom of a toy box somewhere. But and the ones I still have, not the ones I had when I was a child, which I wish I'd held on to, are repaints that another company bought the molds for and put out as like a whole Techno Wars or
capitalism.
Something.
Gotta
yeah, exactly.
It.
And I found them like dirt cheap at like a Dollar General or something when I was like 12 or 14.
And you're like, it's back.
And I was like, my time has come. And bought like 8 or 10 of them. I spent all of my money I had buying like as many as I could find.
I've been mowing lawns all summer and now I got Exo Squad again.
Exactly. And so they had the big deluxe ones, but I don't think they ever redid the big deluxe ones. I think they only redid the...
Did they have them in the show? I always remember them all being the same size.
So they had one of the Able Squad was a Neo Sapien, Marsala. And Marsala was like the that stoic. He was Teal'c
named before, after a chicken dish.
I know, right? He was Teal'c from Stargate before Teal'c was a thing. I think.
Okay.
He was that stoic, like I'm against the oppressors, but
he was the black guy.
He was, but he also wasn't really like.
Was he voiced by a black guy?
He probably was. I don't remember.
Give me a second. While you keep talking, I'm looking it up.
And he had this mech that was actually a 2-seater. And it had stealth capabilities, and it was like this sleek, like...
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. His was one of the 2-seater mechs. And then there was the like, repair specialist, and she had a big-ass yellow construction mech kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that sucker was, like... Oh, and by the way, the toy for that one was, like, the joints didn't want to move, at least the one I had.
So you know, he became Wing Commander J.T. Walsh.
Oh, wow.
He got a promotion.
Marsh?
Yeah. Okay, so Marsala wasn't voiced by a black guy.
Okay, so that's a step forward.
Like that's a normally if you're totally gonna portray someone as the cool stoic, mm-hmm. Definitely based off of the black race.
I mean, like clearly like a different color than the white cast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
or white cartoons.
You're gonna be like, let's get a black guy to play the different person.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know what? I do remember one of the things I really loved was...
There was one black guy in that cast, just so you know.
There was one?
There's one.
I don't think their character he voices is black. I don't remember.
He was in one episode. There was one black guy.
Oh, there was one. Okay. Well, hey, one.
Had
this
one.
This show definitely progressive.
Super progressive.
So...
Who would have thought that a show that's basically just, you know...
Civil rights movement
would not have any black people in it.
It's crazy.
Who would have thought?
It's crazy.
Who's idolizing the opposite side of the civil rights movement?
It's crazy. Who would have thought that a show like this couldn't land a black voice actor for any of these roles?
They probably pitched it to a few and they were like, no.
No, yeah, no.
Why?
They're the bad guys? What are you talking about?
They're like, do you want to play one of the Neo Saviors? They're like, no.
Like, now it's worse. This show was just one of the cool things they did. This one of the things that really got me into sci-fi early on.
Okay.
Was like, so this was the Matrix before the Matrix. Like you had a port in the back of your neck.
What's funny is like when I saw the Matrix 2.
Yeah.
When they had the mechs.
Yeah.
And everything, I was like, you mix that with the fact that they got ports in their neck.
And that's Exo
this
Squad.
This is Exo Squad.
Yep. So, and once again, the Matrix was an analogy for slave rebellion because of the robots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this whole thing was jacked into you, and it was partially kind of sort of AI, but not really. Like, it was, they never really went
into it. It's almost like the Jaegers.
Yeah.
Like, kind of how the Jaegers, you had to mentally link with it.
Yeah, they had, like, an onboard computer, but it wasn't ever really AI until, I believe it was the end of the second season.
So, the end of the show.
The end of the show, because they never went, season 3 was supposed to involve aliens.
Okay.
And the aliens were going to be the threat, and then Neo Sapiens and humans had to work together to fight the aliens.
Oh my God, I know.
Oh, and so
the only thing that can make these people put aside their differences is
another
alien foreign.
nothing makes Neo Sapiens and humans join forces faster than these damn
it's
foreigners.
So I can just picture the alien design.
Yeah.
And they have tentacles, but the tentacles are in the shape of like
Fu Manchu.
Either the Fu Manchu or like the Mexican, the real
thick
kind of one. And it's just like whoa. You're telling me that the clearly white people and the clearly black people can only put aside their differences when they're fighting the clearly Mexican people?
I'm almost certain that's the direction the show would have gone in.
Yeah.
From everything else
or
up to this point.
Just normal brown people, and they would have made them somewhat Middle Eastern.
Oh my God, right? Jesus. Yeah. I think this was maybe, this was early on. It was like 93, 94.
That's getting there.
Yeah, it's right around that time. So,
or they would have been Russian.
Oh yeah, Russian for sure. So the end of the show is something needs to get done. Like basically it's like he has to drop, I'm trying to remember what it is now, but it's like.
It's probably not a nuke.
No, it's like.
Because white people would never drop a nuke.
He has like, it's like a massive like computer or something that only the mech can hold.
Oh, okay.
And like he's got, like J.T. Marsh is like, I'm going to just fly into the lava. Like that's the solution. Like we
ultimate
have to destroy
sacrifice.
It. It's like ultimate sacrifice. I forget what like. what led to it, why the giant mech couldn't just blow it up with any of the thousand missiles.
He is the great white hope.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. He's the great white savior with the what's the name of not the Maltese Falcon.
The Maltese.
Not the Maltese Falcon, the thing, the convenient plot.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I can't think of what it's called right now.
I mean, it's kind of like a MacGuffin, but not a MacGuffin.
It is a MacGuffin. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, I thought you were, because MacGuffins are just like completely overpowered. Like they go, I never heard it referred to as just convenient.
Oh, I think maybe it's not the MacGuffin. It's a.
It could be though. I could very well be wrong. I mean, MacGuffin is just a solve all.
Yeah, it's this is the solution thing. And so he's gonna drop it into this lava or whatever, and the E-frame stops and ejects him. He's like, what the hell is going on? And he goes, it's been a pleasure serving with you, Lieutenant Marsh. And like sacrifices itself.
See, that's cool.
So this thing throws itself into the lava, showing it actually does have some form of AI, at least enough to like save Lieutenant Marsh and pilot itself without him.
Yeah.
And that's how like season two ends.
That's how basically the show ends. You only got one more 20-minute episode.
And I don't think they ever released it on television. I think it's one of those things you can get like in the DVD set or something.
It's like the Boba Fett Cad Bane.
Yeah.
The Cad Bane kind of, you know, duel.
It's there, but it's not really there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the show was all over the place. It covered everything, and it covered it in probably the worst way imaginable.
But it was fun to watch.
Oh, but it was so much fun to watch. And the robots were so cool.
Lasers and missiles flying everywhere.
The designs on these whoever they got to do the art and designs on the suits were insane, because everyone was different. I mean, you know, one suit that had, you know, missile launcher, grappling hook, and then like a three-fingered claw. He had another suit that was Wolf Bronski, my favorite mech, where he just had giant barrels that were missile launchers and like weapons. And then even his like the frame itself was kind of like rounded more, and his cockpit size.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, JT Marsh's, which was like an F-16 and had these big expanding wings. And
It definitely had probably some of the coolest designs for mechs that I've seen probably to date. For the most part, mechs are pretty standard.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a couple like branch offs that kind of did their own thing.
Even like Gundam, which has been a pioneer in like the mech world for a while, has basically just kind of evolved into, well, now this one has points in different areas.
Yeah, Gundam, pretty much they were like, they came up with a really dope design.
Yep.
And then they're like, people really like this. Should we do something new? No. Just keep changing that one dope design and adding doper things to it.
Yeah.
Like wings and a scythe.
And bigger shoulders and like shit that doesn't really
make sense.
What
comes out of your guns? Guns come out of my guns.
Yeah, exactly. And like, so the mechs, and I love a good mech. We've talked about them a lot.
Yeah.
This show had some of the best mech designs.
I'm sorry. Big O. Big O also.
Yeah.
Big O, it pushed the boundaries of mech design also.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to make it seem like this is the only one. No, Big O was dope.
There are, I'm sure there's mech things we don't know about and or are forgetting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of them and a lot of what led the industry is still very standard. I mean, and here's the other thing. So with the toys, the company that was distributing the toys, this confused me as all hell when I was a kid, also owned the rights to some of the Robotech toys in America.
Which are also amazingly designed.
Yeah. And so there's these Zentradi interloper things I had, and like all these other like mechs that, by the way, are not in the show, don't make any sense in context, but were an Exo Squad toy.
Do you know what it probably was? Because Robotech takes place how far in the future?
2127 or something like that.
I'm assuming Exo Squad has to have taken place further than that.
Oh, no. I was thinking of Exo Squad. I don't remember Robotech. Robotech's...
Oh, okay, so maybe Robotech takes place, you know, technically before Exo Squad, and that's why it might make sense that
they would know about the Zentradi and stuff like that.
That's true.
It's not. Trust me, canonically they do not mix. It just has to do with Dan Larson from Toy Galaxy.
Yeah.
I recommend that show if anyone hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
he does a whole thing breaking down Robotech and the rights to the Robotech line, both in distribution and toys, is fucking insane. And they're all over the place. They're owned by like three different people. There's still, I believe, arguments over who can and can't
sell
these products.
So what you're saying is we should never sell anything that has Robotech merch on it.
Probably not.
Because we will be locked up in litigation.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
So it's one of those things where like no, and everyone thought they owned it, and no one thought they owned it, and so now at least at the time,
do we own the rights to this really popular franchise? I think we own it.
A bunch of the people that did own stuff went under, so it's like, well, where'd the rights go? Like, it's it's a whole thing, and it's the same thing for these toys. Like, they sold off, or either they sold it off, or someone bought what molds they could find from a factory. Yeah. And just started producing without the rights, and that's why I've only seen these Techno War toys.
Well, how long does like the rights on something last for?
I have no idea.
Because like if the company completely folded, I mean, at a certain point
I think they recede to public domain, don't they?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it's probably public domain. Unless somebody owned it and has kept up on the
paperwork or whatever, but I don't know what the deal is with that.
I doubt it. And if it hasn't, then we're making ExoSquad.
Oh, for sure.
And we're going to make it new and not racist.
Oh my God, please. Can we like make one where they have a change of heart and they're like, you know, I feel like the Neo Sapiens just want freedom.
They could have just made it against aliens the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't have to be a bioengineered slave race of physically superior beings.
Yeah. Neo Sapiens could have been a bioengineered race of helpers.
And by the way,
and not even slaves, just helpers.
The Neo Sapiens designs are.
The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Very. If you look at them in context of this is an allegory for
race?
For race?
Yeah.
They are very racist. I mean, like,
I'm gonna look it up.
When you think of all of the worst, when people are like describe using bad stereotypes of black people, like racist Southerners are like the Mongoloids with their sloped brows, and they're like treating them like cavemen.
One, they're purple, which is like an offshoot.
Of black.
Look
at their brows and like their design. Like, it's all of the worst possible stereotypes.
Yeah.
Of like, if any very racist Southerner was like, I'll describe a black person for you.
This is what they would look like.
That's what they look like.
Yeah. And the fact that they're bigger and stronger.
Bigger and physically fit. They're better for farm work, Jared, is what I'm saying. Like, that's what they did with this show. And like, I obviously didn't get it. It came out in like 93, 94. I was 5 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. We weren't, the nation hadn't become woke yet. Yeah, man, shit. Yeah, this is like...
It's rough. Look at it.
This guy is straight up just looks like...
Look at it.
Yeah.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
He's even got flared nostrils. And he's got thicker lips than everybody else that was inside of here.
This is the most stereotypical... stereotypical racist
made black people without making black people.
Yeah, they made black people and they're like, well, let's make them purple so people won't know.
Yeah.
And it's awful. That's absolutely insane.
And they
are, like, all of them are that same,
I forgot.
Yeah.
How racist they look.
They're so racist.
And they do have noses. I was picturing basically Voldemort.
I see. When you said that, I was like, yeah, they're probably pretty flat, right? No.
They're flat the other way. They go up.
Yeah, they flange up.
They have, like, Michael Jackson nose, but also still very wide nostrils.
Yeah. It's just incredibly racist.
That's insane. I do want to ask a question that doesn't have anything to do with race.
Okay, go on.
If you were going to think about where the show was going to go, the AI, do you think that it was legitimately they had AI and I guess fucking forgot that they had that?
No.
Or do you think it was from being jacked into the human consciousness? I think,
especially when you have someone like Able Squad, where, I mean,
they seem to be in it every day.
8 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
7 days a week, they are bonded with a computer.
Yeah.
I think with that connection, at some point, the ghost and machine build enough code or enough code grouped together or enough enough customizations were put in to make it more responsive to the pilot that eventually it built up a rudimentary, if not advanced, AI.
I mean, at that point, I mean, if that machine has had to read the intricacies of the human neuropathways is got to be smart.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and it's if it it's has a very, any least, a sort very of smart learning,
computer.
Yeah,
it if it has any sort of AI learning,
yeah,
at that level of complexity, it would almost certainly start building some type of AI.
Yeah. If they're constantly piloting the same mechs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are. There's like a whole thing. Like you're basically bonded with, not bonded with it, but like it's your mech. That's you don't
hop in somebody else's mech.
Yeah. You're that's only like using
wearing somebody else's underpants. Yeah, people don't do it.
Like, could you do it? Sure. Would you? No, not if you can help it.
It's like using someone's toothbrush.
Yeah.
You're like, God. did you fly over here in Jimmy's mech?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. Mine was in getting worked on. Ew.
Yeah.
That was in him.
That was in it. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is if I could like see where the show would go, I'd love to do like an AI rebellion.
See, that always makes more sense to
me. Yeah.
Because human beings enslave AI all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't think about it because technically it's not alive. Like,
so, you know, I'm sure someone made that same argument about the Neo Sapiens, Jared. You're
probably,
racist.
Probably.
I like to emphasize
the Neo Sapiens probably have to eat.
Yeah.
And they probably have to sleep and they probably have to drink water. And
they
have air.
Emotions and, you know, feelings and thoughts. Yeah. And desires. And if an AI gets advanced enough, it'll probably have almost all those same things.
Yeah. I mean, well, if it needs to start doing stuff to maintain its existence,
yeah,
then you can consider it alive.
Yeah.
Because it can die.
It would need electricity.
I mean, yeah.
It would need some form of resource to
live. Depending. What if it's like a nuclear kind of unlimited power plant and blah, 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 blah. Magic arc reactor.
A magic arc reactor, yeah.
is the arc reactor.
Mm-hmm.
It's that machine in Time Machine that 20,000 years later it was still fucking running.
Yeah.
Like, you know, always things.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those interesting things to think of. I liked the idea of like, okay, now they got to work together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, because I really think they kill Phaeton. He's the big bad guy, the megalomaniac. He dies, and there's a moral quandary at the end of,
well, they should found, we let them be free?
No.
Oh.
They found his clone.
Oh.
And they basically say, you know, should we kill the clone for the actions of the original?
Jesus Christ, this show was
I
deep.
I know.
This show went deep for kids.
And the clone is like, I didn't do anything. And they're like,
it's like, I just woke up.
Yeah. So it's like, it's really interesting to be like this had some really good, interesting things to think on.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the show is self-aware enough to realize what an allegory it was being, or if it was just grabbing at everything it could.
I really hope that somebody in the writer's room was like, are these black people?
but then Jim Bob was in the corner like, well, fuck yeah, they're black people. I just couldn't make them black.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, oh, I didn't know we were, oh no.
Could we make aliens now and like put this shit aside? Mm-hmm. And they were like, cancel the show.
Yeah, right? So it just, it could have, it was a very well done show for what it was.
Yeah.
But it was very either tone deaf.
I have to ask this question then. Why do you love this show? Because you are very, very
I know.
What this show represents.
Oh, no. Yeah, not at all. Because
you're like anti-imperialist.
Yeah.
Like,
this show, because I was a young, impressionable child.
Yeah.
This show did have really good, like, if you look past the allegory, which I did as a child because I didn't fucking know.
We didn't know.
This show had really good character development. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first shows where I really started to get like
attached
to individual characters.
Yeah.
Like these characters had more development than Power Rangers. Like these cartoon characters,
I mean, Rangers are fucking flat.
Flat, yeah. They're primary.
Yeah.
This was like real complex characters. Like Wolf Bronski, we've talked about him. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
He was this slob, like a little bit heavier set dude who also had a heart of gold and was like a romantic at heart and like, you know, shit like that. Where like they weren't one dimensional characters, which I loved.
Yeah.
As a child, that was the first thing that I'm really into characters.
Mm-hmm.
They drove each one had an individual custom mech.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
And it didn't repeat.
No, I not mean, at like, all.
When you saw a bunch of them,
mm-hmm.
you so, could I mean,
very like, easily pick out.
If memory serves me correct, like like wing commander.
J.T. Marsh.
Yeah. You'd think I remember because it starts with a J.
And you also looked it up.
Yeah, and I did look it up. I think at this point it's for the lulz. Maybe. I think I'm purposely forgetting it.
Yeah.
But so his mech, I think there was more that looked like his originally.
So there were, when they show like the opening mm-hmm. of the show, you see like cuts of like, here's a squadron of these jet fighter mechs. Yeah. Here's a squadron of these ones. But you never see multiples of them in the show that aren't at least somewhat different.
Yeah.
Like, I think you see one that looks like Wolf Bronski's mech at one point, mm-hmm. but instead of having two barrels, it has like a barrel and then like a hand arm with a grappling hook or something.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's always some type of, and it's a different color. Like, okay. There's always some type of differentiation. I'm sure they did repeat artwork for, because animation's expensive. You know,
save money.
Yeah, but so it's just one of those things.
Could have used slaves, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they could have. Yeah, maybe they could have just bioengineered some workforce.
Wasn't this produced in Canada?
I don't know if it was or not. So the studio that did this, and you look this up, mm-hmm. the studio that did this was pretty small.
Yeah.
And I don't think they lasted long after it went down.
Let's see who it was that made this.
And I think that's one of the reasons, too, that it didn't get the kind of airtime or popularity.
That's weird. It says countries of origin, United States, Canada. Because there's no comma, it's just literally United States, Canada.
So
that's great.
It's one of them. I know it aired on like the same channel as some of the Canadian cartoons. Like, mm-hmm. well, you know, because like Matrix Entertainment and stuff like that was Canadian studios.
Yeah.
They did like Reboot and Beast Wars. Wait,
this came out after Aliens?
The movie Aliens? I think so.
Yeah. Aliens. I forget that Aliens came out in the late 80s.
We're old.
I always forget about that.
Yeah, like just don't date us, man. Like, yeah. They just started looking back on it. This came out, what, 93 and 94, I think?
Yeah. I was giving it, like, the benefit of the doubt. I was like, maybe it wasn't ripping off the Power Loader.
It's totally ripping off the Power Loader.
It says that Battlestar Galactica, the 1978 one, mm-hmm. Aliens, Captain Power, and the Soldiers of the Future,
uh-huh.
and X-Men were the influences for this. Which, I mean, if you're gonna base it off of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Other than Captain Power and Soldiers of the Future.
Yeah.
Those are great choices. Mm-hmm. This should have American Civil Rights Movement in there also.
There should be a couple of other little tidbits in there, like the American Civil Rights Movement, the Civil War. Yeah.
All of human history of enslavement.
That being said, there's some stuff that comes after this that definitely ripped from this and just kind of feeds that old homage or
the Matrix.
The Matrix for sure. That kind of feeds into that old adage, like there are mm-hmm. no new ideas. It's just kind of recycled. Well, what it stuff.
Is, it's like there was something written in like 1890 something mm-hmm. where it was basically stating these are 36 plots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like anything else that you write will just be a derivative
of these.
Of one of these 36 plots.
And a bunch of them are stuff that was pulled from like Greek philosophy, religion, Christianity. And
yeah, this was like the first author that actually looked at all of that and just went, these are the storylines.
Well, isn't this the person that came up with the archetypes? And they were like, okay, this is the...
It might have been.
I can't remember the names of them now.
I thought Shakespeare had a lot to do with archetypes.
Well, like Shakespeare did have a lot to do with archetypes, but this author was one of the ones that was like... Look, all of them fall into
these categories.
These categories, these plots, this is how it's going to go. And then anything you do differently is just a recasting of this.
Yeah. And that's basically like I feel like everybody deep down knows that every story that can be told mm-hmm. has been told.
Yeah.
And now we're just telling it in different ways.
Yeah. And but then that's the thing is like you can tell it in different ways and better ways.
Yeah.
And worse ways.
Yeah, add space pirates. Yeah. Immediately better way. Yeah.
Speaking of telling
things... Even X-Men had it.
Oh, for sure. Everyone has space pirates.
Yeah.
Speaking of telling things in worse ways,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what we may or may not have heard about Morbius.
Oh, okay.
So...
I mean, I've heard mixed things.
I've also heard mixed things. Now, we talked... I think it was the last episode we talked about what the Rotten Tomatoes score was.
Yeah. We definitely talked about it.
Yeah.
We just didn't go in super in depth.
Yeah.
And now it's out and mm-hmm. people have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing I've not heard it was good.
No. I've heard it was good. That. I've heard it was good from one person.
Okay.
Who said he really enjoyed it and didn't like, he didn't think the critics were right.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that people are like, oh, the best scene in the movie, and it's when Matt Smith,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen the clip of Matt Smith like vamping out.
Okay.
And if that's the best scene in the movie, what the fuck kind of movie is this? Like
the only thing that I've heard about it, and neither of us can speak on how good it is because neither of us have seen it.
And you know, money is a thing and time is a thing.
And we also kind of don't want
to
see
it. No, I don't want to pay theater prices to see this movie.
But no, like the only thing that I've heard from the people that I know that have seen it are someone gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
Which just means this movie is a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah.
Like, this movie is a movie that it's okay that it was made.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be like, man, I need to see Morbius.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to be like, man, do you remember that one scene from that? Yeah. Like, years later. You're just going to be like, if it's on TNT in 10 years, you're going to be like, oh, shit, it's on. And you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, that's really it. I heard that it wasn't as bad as critics said, but it was definitely better than The Eternals.
Yeah, well, let's see. If it's better than The Eternals, which is not hard, that's a good thing. But I think totally neutrally bland is just as bad in some cases.
What did we give Eternals?
Not good. I think we gave it like a 3 or 4.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm like, I could have swore that we said like that was middle of the road.
Yeah.
Which if we see this and this is better,
yeah,
then Eternals is definitely dropping down.
Yo, for sure. one of my favorite memes out there is it's Darth Maul with the twin blade lightsabers.
Oh, it's Jared Leto.
It's Jared Leto, and it's worst DC movie and then worst Marvel movie popping out of the other one. I'm like, that's so funny.
I mean, I would hope it gets a worse rating than Eternals, so that it can be.
Yeah.
And that he can legitimately be.
I don't know if it's gonna be, and I'm only don't know if it's gonna be because Matt Smith's in it, and I legitimately love Matt Smith.
I love Matt Smith. He's amazing as the doctor.
He's a great doctor.
He's a great actor in general.
He's a great doctor in real life. Matt Smith, he's a master surgeon.
I know someone that had brain surgery by him.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Amazing. He's amazing. So, so yeah. So, tell us what you think about the allegory of Exo Squad.
Yeah.
Do
you agree with the Terrans or the Neo-Sapiens?
I hope
that you think it was all fucked up.
Here's one more thing. I just want to emphasize this. Okay. This is what's the most fucked up about it. Not that they did this show. Not that they did it like they did. Well, is that they did it like they did.
That's a big thing.
It's not that they did the show. It's that they frame so hard in favor of the Terrans.
Mm-hmm.
They do some kind of mental gymnastics. They throw. There's like, okay. I saw a trope about this. When the villain in a movie is making too much sense, so you make them do something that's like chaotic, so evil,
ridiculous.
Like, like in Black Panther, Killmonger, very reasonable motivation.
Very reasonable.
And so to establish early on that he's not a good guy, murders his girlfriend for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's, hey, what? Let's do something that is A, out of character, and B, unacceptable by anyone's standards to establish that they're villains. That's what they did with this, except they didn't even do the so evil we can't like them part well. Yeah. They just tried to make the Terrans so good we like them.
They made the good guys so likable.
Yeah, like
that likeable, you're like, I can't root against them ever.
Yeah, charismatic, likable paladins of justice.
Yeah.
Who are just happen to be the elite squad of stormtroopers oppressing this entire group of people.
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way, and this is how I can totally understand it.
Mm-hmm.
We're still kind of taught that we were the good guys in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's true. And that's some, yeah, like, when I was in school, do you know how many people knew we'd lost Vietnam?
We tied.
We did not tie Vietnam, Jared.
We tied. We're America. We don't lose. We tie.
Exactly. We don't lose is exactly the, and that's exactly it. We're America. Tie. We don't lose. We fucking failed at Vietnam. The only reason it wasn't worse is because we were on their territory and we could just leave.
Yeah.
Some of us. Some of us didn't.
Some of us did not.
Yeah.
There's like, a lot of people that
didn't make it out of there.
Did not make it out.
And that's not a win. Like, there was no victory there.
Yeah. But they didn't get to do what they wanted either.
Because we fucking invaded.
I know. But that's why it's a tie.
That's not a tie. Just
if you don't accomplish your goal, but they don't accomplish their goal,
I guess. Yeah, mutual destruction. It's
mutual destruction. Mutual destruction.
That's very American.
It's we'll take you out if we have to. It is you tied by you both scoring 0 points.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like you both lost that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
If you went to a basketball game and the score was 0-0 at the end of it, you would have been like, you both lost.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, it's not even that you tied, you both didn't win this, you both lost.
Yep.
And honestly, I want my money back.
Yeah. And that's what Vietnam was, and that's... Yeah. This show just doubles down on the, like, we didn't lose. We can't lose against the Neo Sapiens. Who are they to want freedom?
Exactly.
And equal rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they double down on that so hard, and that's what makes it fucked up.
They literally went, we're so likable that computers learned to learn.
Yeah.
To like us.
Yeah.
Like, also, just for the sake of liking us, they Neo learned how to learn.
Have E-frames.
Yeah. So they...
I think the Neo Sapiens are the only ones that have the repeating.
But you know what? Only the Great White Hope can have one that thinks.
Oh my god. it's so bad. Like, I wish I didn't love this show.
It's like in Avatar. It's like, you know. Got an entire race full of people, but who can save them?
The white American can come over and save this group of people to become the ultimate chief.
Poor savages. They need a white guy to save.
He only learned to ride a horse 3 weeks ago, but he's
riding a fucking dragon.
Yeah, he's going to tackle the largest dragon.
Hey, you know what? He's the good guy.
That's it. He's the good guy. In that movie, though,
he legitimately was the good guy.
I know he was.
They were trying to, like,
It was Pocahontas. It was Pocahontas. Yeah, it was Pocahontas and he was John Smith.
Yeah.
He's still, like...
Yeah. It's like you're still a terrible person. You're still part of the terrible people.
Yeah.
Like, good on you for making a good choice. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, fuck you. Like, you don't even need to be here.
That's like the same issue with, like, Back to the Future. Like, Zemeckis appropriated black culture.
Yeah.
Black people didn't come up with Johnny B. Good. That was Marty McFly.
Exactly.
You just take everything you can. And be like, no, it's really a white guy in the background.
But it was for comedy.
It was for comedy.
If it's for comedy or entertainment, it's fine.
By the way, you know, I hurt myself when I say stuff like that because I truly, truly love Back to the Future.
It's a great movie.
It's one of the best scripts ever written. It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely buttfuck sense.
Yeah.
There's lots of little things.
I just watched a little thing where it's like, what happened to the Marty in the universe that Marty comes back to?
Yeah.
They're like, because he didn't come back to his universe. Mm-mm. He changed something. He came back to a completely different universe.
Uh-huh.
Where was that, Marty?
Yeah. where was the established... I love how they just jump into... There's totally tangent now.
Yeah.
They jump into Marty's best friend is this disgraced nuclear physicist.
Just likes to hang out with high school kids.
He hangs out with high school kids. Nothing weird here.
Weird. Buys a very expensive car.
Yep.
Pisses off a bunch... Of Libyans.
Yeah,
it's like
bought a bunch of plutonium from Libyans, sold them a bomb that was just a bunch of clock parts in a case.
And that's just the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yep. Oh, by the way, left his dog's automatic feeder running the whole time.
Yeah.
And like it's just a fucking crazy
movie.
Oh my god.
I would love to see a prequel to Back to the Future, even if it's animated.
It's Back to the Future 3.
But no, okay. I'm talking about. I want to see a prequel of how
they met.
Doc Brown and Marty met. How they became so close.
There's a bunch of fan theories about that.
I want to see like a legitimate canon.
That would be interesting. My favorite theory is that Marty dies all the time.
Are you saying Marty's Morty?
Yes. 100. Well, that's probably.
I know that's their.
Yeah. The tunnel scene, the tunnel scene where Doc arrives exactly when he needs to drop the line of flags to pull Marty up into the DeLorean. There's a ton of these. I don't remember off the top of my head. This is something we should talk. Like, we should do a theory video one.
Okay, we'll do a deep dive. So yeah, let's save it for that. But I can see where you're going.
But the movies are the brightest timeline,
like the best possible timeline.
And it's because Marty dies. Doc goes. Not today. Goes back. Saves Marty.
Okay.
And that happens repeatedly throughout Doc's timing is the kind of timing where you have to
You have to know about ahead of time.
Look past convenience and be like, Yeah, this motherfucker, like, Marty dies. Like, he, okay, all right, he's like, okay, Marty hit the pavement at 10:25, so he probably leapt from the building. He's doing, like, calculations. Yeah,
and he's smart enough that he can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of shit that, like, we can do a whole deep dive on, like, not just Back to the Future. I mean, like,
we'll do a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple theory videos we should think of.
Yeah, but definitely.
Anyway.
Now that we've gone off on mega tangent.
Yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
If you'd like to listen again.
or to any of our other podcasts, please check us out on RunRunnersPodcastNetwork.com.
Yep.
You can get us wherever you listen to your podcast. You can listen to our partners and our other podcasts in our family, like Chungus Cast, Senpai Kohai. Mm-hmm. You got to watch this podcast.
You have to watch this podcast. Phrasing is important.
I know phrasing is important. Fit Talk with Nick.
And of course, the Lehigh Valley Food Podcast. And
Lehigh Valley Food Podcast with our partners, Times Live Radio Network.
Studios.
Every time.
We're the network, they're the studios.
That's right. We're the network, they're the studio. That's it. Times Live Radio Studios.
There you go.
And check us out on our... Please, go to our website. Check it out.
Yeah, we do have merch for all of the flagship shows. So
yeah.
So Rum Runners, Dark Rum, and Talk Show, and all have merch. I do want to say on the website there is now our brand new.
I almost forgot. Narwhal's Nightmares.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're still working on some stuff from that, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And Infinite Universes.
Oh, yeah, Infinite Universes.
But
this is getting too many for me. I struggled with like three.
Have so many shows. I know. Now
we're growing really fast, so you should get on board now while they're young and impressionable. No.
You can join the network. It is on the website. There's a contact form at the bottom, but. There is also a link to our brand new digital magazine.
Oh, yes.
The Indie Podcast Magazine. A digital magazine that's fully interactable, made by indie podcasters for indie podcasters. The first issue that came out is starting a podcast. So for anybody out there that is looking to start a podcast, or really anybody that has started a podcast, is just like, let me see what other people's experience was like.
Yep.
Check it out. There's a bunch of really great shows that we partnered with that that helped us out with it. So we have a couple highlights, a couple tips, some recommendations, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So definitely check out the Indie Podcast Digital Magazine.
Yes, please. Oh, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for stopping in. Embrace your fandom, everybody.
And let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.